Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Teal Town After Dark. Oh, my. And now the Sharks pick up their first regulation win versus the Anaheim Ducks, 4-2. We gotta like it. And I really hope you guys enjoy the graphic that we're throwing up. There is no love lost between these teams, except between Getzlaf and Melker Carlson. Thank you very much. What's going on, everybody? Oh, this is a good one. This was a good one. This is one that the Sharks needed in a big way, in a big crappin' way. After coming in, both teams coming into this one, three-game skids. But you got to feel a little bit, maybe just a scotch for the Ducks. Four straight losses now for the Ducks, all in regulation. The Ducks scoring a total of four goals in those four games. So what you going to do? He hate me. Nobody hates me. No. They hate me because they hate me. They hate me because they don't have this beautiful background. Anyway, let's get into it, guys. First period, 4:23 of the first. Vlasic takes a delay of game. Man, I thought we got rid of these delay of games. And again, Vlasic, not his best game. Not his best. I do believe he got an assist. Yes, as I slyly look up the stats, yes. Eddie did get an assist. And let me guess, it was on Hurdle's empty netter. I made the Jumbotron? Okay. What was the photo? If I made the Jumbotron, what was it, my wall? Was it, let me guess, it was the pucks, wasn't it? It was the wall of pucks, I guarantee you. So game 39 is in the books, kids. The blender, the PD blender, was souped up tonight. Hurdle starting in the pivot from the get-go, which is, oh my Lord, Jessica already starting off the super chat. She has laid down the gauntlet, people. $2.99. Top it. That's all I'm saying. Radil out there with Couture and Meyer instead of Hurdle, who we're used to seeing. Jumbo out there with Sorensen and Pavs. It's kind of a line that we've seen when PDB does push that blender button. Hurdle out there with Kane and LeBanc. That line might have been the worst tonight. Goodrow with Melker and Donskoy. Vlasic and Braun, of course. Dylan slotting over to his offside to make room for Ryan, whose ass was stapled to the bench pretty much from the last 30 minutes of this game. Oh, just another Randy G went up a dollar. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate the support. And then, of course, Burns and Shimmick. Heed scores, and only his third game last game. He's been watching so many games in the press box. He only gets his third start. He scores, opens the scoring, and somehow, I guess, it was so sore from scoring that goal as some sort of upper, lower body something or other. So Heat is out. Ryan's in. His ass is stapled to the bench for pretty much the second half of the game. What are you going to do? So getting back into what happened. Vlasic gets the delay game at 4:23, then at 5:59, Silverberg would trip Shimmick, and nothing really going on with either of those power play opportunities. Then Sorensen would cross-check Montour, and at 10:33, Silverberg would score a power play goal from Richie and Mahura. I mean, that, you know, it's going to happen, evidently. You know, the vaunted PK of San Jose is not evidently what it once was. 25% tonight for the Ducks, 1-for-4. The Sharks, 0-for-3 tonight on the power play. Thank God that wasn't a deciding factor in tonight's game. Could you imagine if this went to overtime and the Sharks lost yet again three consecutive times going into extra frames? That would have sucked. And then you would look and go 0-for-3 on the power play. Wow, one of those could have made a difference. So either way, 10:33, Silverberg does score on that power play at 18:05 of the first. Melker on a sweet pass from Donskoy. And you talk about a guy who has needed some luck. I know the guy just got like recently engaged and everything, but Jonas Donskoy, oh my God, this guy is in desperate need of good things to happen to him when he's on the ice. And he got something. Serves it over. Oh no. Are you kidding me? Laurel just raised the bar to a new level. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year with $20.19. Throwing down the 2019 Happy New Year. And I guarantee you at least 19 cents of that is for Kayla back here. I'm telling you. I know it is. So that's the way the first period would shake out for the guys. Faceoffs were somewhat negligible. Shots on goal, if I remember correctly, shots on goal for the Sharks, they led it by like one or two. So you'll have to forgive me. I was there were a lot of things going on in, you know, Sharks Teal Town USA Studio South, I'm going to say. So 20 is for Kayla, 19 cents is for us. There you go. The funding goes to getting Puck Guy a good internet connection. No, I'm kidding. No, it just goes to supporting the show. That's all it does. And we appreciate it so much. We've all paid for these items out of our own pocket. Now I got to ramble on here for like the next 30 seconds. You know, these microphones, the boom arms, all of this stuff, they're not free. We didn't have these before we started it. We all went out and shelled out of our own pocket to try to make a better show. And so any support you can provide like that, that helps us, hosting services for Teal Town USA, that's not free. The vanity URL, tealtownusa.com, not for free. So we definitely appreciate it. And that's where all this money is going back to. Believe me, nobody is pocketing anything. This all goes back to basically Laurel just paid for our domain name for a year. So we totally appreciate that. Getting back to the second period. 5:44, Sorensen cleans up some Pavelski garbage. This one was challenged. I'm not sure how you challenge this. I mean, I can get it from the Ducks' point of view, I suppose. But Pavelski was straight up pushed into Chad Johnson. And that is something that I have neglected to say. For some reason, it was never really explained, but John Gibson was replaced by Chad Johnson to start the second period. No word really came out. I'm sure it's some sort of upper body, lower body, something injury. So there you go. But anyway, Sorensen would clean up Pavelski's garbage. Anaheim would challenge goalie interference. Pavs was pushed into Johnson. For me, the refs made the right call. And again, I look at this and I sit there and go, how would I feel about this if the opposing players were wearing the jersey that I'm wearing? That's the way I look at it. And I'm just one of those guys. It can't be goalie interference when your teammate pushes the opposing player into you. It just can't. I'm just saying. So that's what happened at 5:44. 9:03, Melker would get caught slashing Getzlaf, and then all of a sudden we had like 5-on-4, 4-on-4, 4-on-3. It was all sorts of fun stuff going on. And then 16:10 of the second, Šimek roughing Sprong roughing Šimek. That was all off of a solid hit. And Brody Brazil, you know, friend of the show, made a great point where it's just get to the where are we now in the NHL when just a good hockey hit, there was nothing dirty about it. It was just a solid hockey hit. Guy got caught out of position. He paid the price. That's it. It's just a good hockey hit. You take the number, you move on. You don't have to have half your team lose their mind. It's not like Oliver Ekman-Larsson the other night versus LeBanc, where it was just a straight up elbow to the head. That had nothing but dirt all over it. This was just a solid hit by Šimek. It's a clean play, but of course everybody has to lose their minds, but whatevs. Just another Randy G, kind of like the EK65 hit, but whatevs. Yeah. I completely agree with you. So, to finish off the second period, Goodrow would get caught slashing Sprong. Nothing really happens of it. Anaheim starts first 45 seconds of the third on the power play. Really nothing came much from it, which is typical from when you have to, you know, split power play time between periods after, you know, you pour it on for a minute 15 and then you get to like think about it for 15 minutes. But Jones had some great saves while also making some really odd decisions and almost scored on himself. I know that the first, second, and third stars tonight were Burns, Goodrow, and Melker Carlson. You could make a case that the third star would have been Joe Thornton. The second star would have been Burns. The first star might have been the post tonight for the Sharks. I'm just saying. Jessica, with the way goalie interference gets called nowadays, it really could have gone either way. So, yeah, that's, again, I consider it where I put the opposing jerseys. You know, I try to look at it from the other side and go, would I be pissed about that if it was somebody, you know, one of the Sharks pushing a duck into Martin Jones? You know, I'd sit there and go, well, you shouldn't have pushed him. That's just the way it is. So getting into the third period at 3:53, Sherwood would score. The Sharks just overplayed this, created a turnover. All Vlasic had to do was take care of it in the corner. He doesn't. He gets it out of play. Again, Vlasic with more suspect decisions. I know he got an assist on, I believe it was Hurdle's empty netter. I still don't know what in the world is going on with Vlasic. I really don't. But at 10:21, Burns in his 1,000th game would get the game winner from Dylan and Goodrow, only the fourth Shark in history to score in his 1,000th game, joining Patrick Marleau, Joe Thornton, and Gary Suter. What was that? So like 12, 19, and 20? It's good company. Bizarrely enough, foreseen by friend of the show, Brody Brazil. Go check his Twitter. He called it that Burns would get the game winner in this because it was his 1,000th game. 10:21, Silverberg would get called for unsportsmanlike. Again, the Sharks power play, not the best. Somebody needs to be held accountable for this. And then at 19:44, of course, Chad Johnson gets pulled. Hurdle throws in the empty netter. Third assist from Goodrow. Goodrow with 3 points tonight. That bottom line looking very good. Wait, is AJ really the only one on air? Yeah, you got a problem with that? I'm the only one on air tonight.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
That's all I'm saying. So tonight for me, the Thornton line, hell yes. The Hurdle line. The Hurdle line with Kane LeBanc. Not the best. Not the best. We'll see if PDB decides to roll with Hurdle at the pivot coming up versus Edmonton and Calgary. I can't imagine why. And we'll, I don't know. We'll see how other things shake out. I really liked Tim Heed's game, and I know that once Carlson's back, of course, there'll be no room for him, but I enjoyed what Tim Heed. I thought Tim Heed was a very serviceable replacement for Carlson. Obviously not has 10% of the talent that Carlson has, but still Tim Heed, incredibly serviceable. It bums me out that he doesn't get more time, but I understand, you know, the pecking order, if you will. At this point though, why the hell is Joakim Ryan still on this team? If you're going to staple his ass to the bench, give him, last time I looked, it was at 6:05. Yeah. So his ass was stapled to the bench for essentially like, I don't know, 6 minutes into the second period. And then you got Burns, 29:15, Burns playing half the game. I mean, yeah, I guess you get that for your 1,000th game. Vlasic at 24:56, along with Braun, 24:48. So that obviously matches up. Šimek getting out there for a second under 17. I just, oh, you got a feel for Yoki. You do, a little bit. Just a scotch, if you will. The thing that actually kind of shocks me tonight, like Donskoy getting only 7 minutes, I'm not totally surprised by that. Yes, he did get a great assist on what goal was that? I had it written down. But Donskoy got a really nice assist on Melker Carlson's goal, for the opening goal. But again, Donskoy only gets 7 minutes. Clearly, PDB not liking what he's seeing from Donskoy. Lucas Radil, who had looked fantastic, only getting 828 tonight. I think that was also bizarre, too. It felt like PDB was kind of rolling, I guess, the vets a little harder tonight. I'm a little surprised Evander Kane got 1824. I don't think he deserved 1824 tonight, to be honest with you. Hurdle, 21-14, only 50% in the circle tonight. So that's where it is. That is your game, people. That's the way it is. So thanks for tuning in. We will see you all next time. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's kind of where it is. But again, it's just me right now. If you have questions, I'm sorry. It's, you know, I'm like trying to keep an eye over here, keep an eye over there, keep an eye on the chat, keep an eye on my notes. So if you have anything to say, ask, any comments or anything that you want me to address, put them in now, please. And while that happens, I want to say, hey, go get you some Sierra Nevada Resilience. Because 100% of the proceeds from this go to the victims from the Paradise Campfire. So go get you some of this. And to top it off, it's pretty tasty. In fact, it's damn tasty. Stop trying to make Hurdle a center. Keep him at wing. I could not agree with you more. I don't know why they aren't learning from this. It's Hurdle is clearly a winger. That's what he needs to be. So leave him there. Wonder if they decide to waive Ryan at this. Oh, no, he's not going to get waived. Ryan will not get waived because if he gets waived, he'll get picked up by somebody and then everybody will dump all over Doug Wilson for not getting anything for him. So you got to at least get a pick, whether, you know, sixth rounder. So you have to get something in return to let him go, kind of like how you let Ryan Carpenter go to Vegas. Now the fans are going to, they're going to have an issue with that. How do you decide which sweaters will be placed in the background of every episode? I just went with who scored tonight. And I don't have a Melker Carlson jersey. What are you going to do? So sue me. So that's why I went with these. Had Pavelski scored, you would have saw Pavelski over here. He's worth the pick. That's I do think that Ryan is worth the pick. I think part of it has to do with PDB just doesn't have a lot of faith in him. And it's so bizarre because there was a good amount of faith last season. We saw how he filled in for Paul Martin and he was kind of Wookiee Whisperer part two and it was working really well. And then for some reason this season, I don't know if it's the addition of Erik Karlsson kind of threw a weird monkey wrench into the mix, has people thinking about their games. I mean, look at Braun and Vlasic. Not their best season by any stretch. So Ryan was very effective at limiting scoring chances tonight. Liked his game. Well, evidently PDB did not. Don't know what to tell you. Would have liked more Ryan, a little bit less of Vlasic tonight. Can't say that I disagree with you, sir. Cannot say it. Vlasic again on the second power play. PDB is going to do PDB things. I think that's what it's going to be. Like to see he'd get some reps with Vlasic. That could be interesting. Vlasic on the power play is a travesty. I don't know that I'd call it a travesty, but there are definitely, I think the Sharks have better options by every stretch of the imagination. But let's talk about some of the good things. I mean, that Šimek hit was fantastic. How much do you enjoy Šimek right now? You know, what is this game like if Karlsson is not suspended? You know, you got Karlsson out there with Dilly. You got Vlasic and Braun, but you know, I'm guaranteeing you Šimek is getting a hell of a lot more than 6 minutes versus Ryan. You should know Dave is on the fire to board train. You know, it's I get it. You feel good, you feel bad some days. How long do we have Pickles? I think it's right around six or seven more seasons. I mean, this guy Vlasic has to be having off ice issues. That's all I can say, because it's clearly, I don't know why his head is not in this game right now. It's just weird. Šimek just relishes it. Yes. Kind of a little reminiscent, like a smaller Kyle McLaren, just, you know, a guy that just loves to go out there, play some good hockey. But when you can throw the hits, you throw the hits, finish your checks, make sure guys know when you are on the ice. You still play the game clean, but when you can get the big hit, you lay the big hit. You don't shy away from it. That's what I love about Šimek's game. I'd like to see the Braun Vlasic pairing broken up for a few games. Okay, so, but who do you pair them up with? That's what I want to know. So since Hertl isn't a center, split the Joes, right? You know, I'm not a fan of Jumbo and Pavelski together. I mean, why do you want to put two slow guys out there together? You know, I really like Jumbo, Sorensen, and LeBanc. I like that line. I just think it needs a little more play. Šimek is the man. Yes. Get Jumbo Pavs as the other centers. I mean, Couture, Jumbo, Pavelski, Goodrow. There you go. I'm fine with that. I am more than fine with that. My Ryan comment wasn't about Fire DeBoer. Literally had only one high danger chance compared to 3-4. Yeah. Give me that. Racist fan Ryan asks, was the ice garbage after the CUDA game? Of course it was. The ice is garbage no matter who plays. It's San Jose. What are you going to do? You know, we just can't have nice ice. It's just part of being in the Bay Area. I mean, ask Arizona, ask Tampa Bay, ask the Florida Panthers. There are just some teams that cannot have nice ice. And I'm sure that the CUDA chopped the hell out of it, and they're fantastic. Somebody help me out. It was a victory. Was that a 3-1 victory? 3-2 victory today for the Barracuda? I watched it, but I was also doing other things. But anyway. Yes, Lacey, it is only AJ. I'll get set up. No, we're cool. See you guys later. I'm kidding. No, Kevin, go ahead, jump on. Because I know that Kevin did, in fact, spend his lunch hour at the tank watching some Barracuda, so it would be cool to have some little talk about the CUDA. 3-1, yes. Okay, I thought I was right. Yeah, Colorado Eagles go down. Colorado scored first in that one, and the CUDA would come along. If I remember correctly, I do believe that Perron had the tying goal for the Barracuda. And right now, for those of you that want to bake the noodle a little bit, there was a player that came along on that deal with Erik Karlsson. Who was it? Francis Perron. You know who has more goal or more points right now than Erik Karlsson? Francis Perron. It's just fun how things work out. Perron, Wood, and someone else. Yeah. And you know what? And I had it written down somewhere. But anyway, yeah, I remember Kyle Wood getting that game winner. That was nice. Does Kevin have the key to the studio or does he need a link? No, he's got the link. He has the link. Wait, we got to talk CUDA with that. Oh, I'm sorry. Latunov. That was it. Yes, Latunov got that last one. So there you go. Hi, hi, hi. Roy Sommer will be coaching the AHL Pacific Division All-Star game, which is pretty cool. We have All-Star stuff coming up for the Sharks. We saw that the captains were chosen. Who was it? Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid. I didn't really pay attention to the East. I'm sorry. Let me guess. Ovi and who's the other guy? But it does kind of suck that Connor McDavid was like third time in a row for Connor, like a Shark, like really? Pavelski? No? Really? No, oh, Austin Matthews. Yeah, of course. Hello. Duh. Why didn't I know that? Again, I had a lot of stuff going on. If you don't know, it's like, go check my Twitter feed. Not completely, but I redid a lot of stuff in my office like over the last day or so. My brain's a little baked. You know, forgive me. I'll be better after Edmonton and or Calgary. Oh, no, I won't be here for Calgary. Sorry. I have plans on New Year's. I'm going to go to Stockton and watch the CUDA play the Heat. No, I'm kidding. I'll give it about two more minutes for Lacey to join. And if he doesn't, then I'm going to move on. But with the 35 of you watching, if anybody's new here, of course, we have to do a little house cleaning. Please do us a favor. Subscribe below. Hit the notification bell. If you would, give us a thumbs up. We'd appreciate it. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, pretty much every social platform media known to mankind, at Tealtown USA. Do us a favor. Follow us on there. SoundCloud, New Puck Knowledge just dropped on Christmas. So there you go. And Lacey's in the house. So we have to play it again. So were you there? Did you spend your entire lunchtime there? I mean, did you catch the whole game or was it just like, you know, a period and a half?
Hey, guys. Well, I'm Kevin Lacey. I was able to join the game for the first period and then intermission hit and I basically had to stumble off back over to my work where I watched the rest of the game on AHL.TV. I mean, worked the rest of the afternoon.
Oh, so. Dude, Dave B. Pilot ain't messing around. So, oh, AJ, Kevin will be there in a minute. He's putting on his makeup.
Yeah.
Kevin has to be camera ready, people.
Yeah, I was literally like, I think I'm going to put in my teeth whitening trays and call it a night. And then I'm like, let's check out after. Oh, my God, AJ, let me help you out, brother.
Yeah.
Even though you're doing just fine.
Oh, I thank you. And what do we got coming up for that? So. Oh, it's so weird, man. Okay, so the goal's on the 30th, and then it's so bizarre that the same night that the Sharks are playing Calgary, the Cougars are playing their affiliate, the Heat. That's just really, really weird to me.
And they've done that, like, every year. I'm pretty sure this is some kind of arrangement they have with the Flames, because I know that every other year that the Barracuda have been in existence, the Flames brass have come out from Calgary to watch their entire organization on both games. So I'm imagining that's kind of why it's happening again. I think it's just a thing. So
I like it.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, the Sharks could never do that in Worcester. I mean,
no, but it would be fun. Like, you know, if there's times when like the Sharks are playing the Kings, yet the Cougars are playing the Rain or so, like, it'd be so cool if they could come up with a few of those where they could kind of sync that up.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But yeah, the game, surprisingly decent crowd for a Thursday 1:15 start time for the Barracuda. I'd say there were about 1,200 there, which 2 years ago today had the lowest total I believe they ever had against the Charlotte Checkers, which was somewhere around 130 people. So, hey, that's progress.
Nowhere to go. What up, my friend?
No, but yeah, I mean, it was a good crowd again for a Thursday afternoon. And unfortunately, I got to see the only Eagles goal of the game, but in person. But thank you, San Jose Barracuda, for attempting to get me off work for the rest of the day. I appreciated your tweet. If you didn't see it, follow at Kevin Lacey 22 on
Twitter. That was very nice. Well, and we have the three goals. We have gifts of the three goals from the Cuda on Tealtown USA Twitter.
Awesome. So. Awesome. But I do want to talk about the second goal, the second and the third goals, because Max Letunov is a guy that I know you guys mentioned quite a lot there at the start of the year for rightful reasons, because he was hot, hot, hot. And today,
a lot of speculation about him battling Gambrell and Charchi and Suomela for a second.
Exactly. But today he scored his first goal in 17 games. And he's been struggling too. I mean, he's been playing okay, but you can tell the last several games that I've gone to, you can tell he's been frustrated because every chance he misses, it's his body language. It's not Goldobin body language, but it's just like the why, what can I do? And he had an awesome play to create space in the offensive zone to set up Kyle Wood's goal, where he basically passed it through two or three Eagles defenders to get that to Wood, and then Wood sniped it short side under the bar. That ended up being the winning goal. And then the insurance goal was Letunov's goal, where he made a great play, basically an outside-inside deke. It ended up getting blocked, hit a body, and ended up coming right back onto his stick, and he finally buried it, made that 3-1, put the game out of commission because the Eagles were lifeless there in the third. So it was a fun game to watch. It was a fun game to be partially at. So if y'all, you know, I like to be there in full, but it was what it was. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, again, the Barracuda have two more games before the end of the 2018 year. So San Diego Gulls on the 30th, 5 yep. o'clock. Go check that out.
Frenzy's birthday, which has changed every year miraculously. But
well, hey, it just it's always funny how his birthday always happens to fall on a game day.
Oh, yeah.
Always,
yeah.
Always interesting how that works out. Wonder who else we'll see there besides Sharky. So back to the Sharks. Hey, you know, the Anaheim continues their skid. The Sharks stop theirs, miraculously enough. And now the Sharks begin another very short road trip at Edmonton, at Calgary, at Colorado, before coming back to a three-game homestand to host the best team in the NHL. But hey, no matter what happens, you get a Owen Nolan All-Star Game bobblehead.
Heck yeah.
That's what I'm going for. A win would be nice, but I'm going to be honest. I'm going for that damn bobblehead. So,
and Owen Nolan was in the house tonight, and he was wandering around meeting with fans on the concourse. I guess maybe trying to
the Sharks or Cuda?
The Sharks game.
Oh, that's so you were at the game tonight too?
I was not, but I know people who were, and they got to meet him on the concourse and take photos and whatnot. So yeah.
Kick ass. Were you able to watch the Sharks game tonight?
Yeah, I watched parts of the game. I know the Sharks were a little sluggish, but as I always say, as long as you're trending upward, what's up?
I'm just gonna say, okay, so about tonight's Sharks games, Kevin Lacy, your thoughts.
I always say if you're trending up as the game goes along, probably 80% of the time you're going to win. You'd want it to be 100%, but sometimes you just have bad luck. Hey, the Ducks know about bad luck tonight, but they didn't play well enough to win, and I thought the Sharks did. And coming out of the break, you know, that is what it is. I, on the broadcast, they talked a lot about the Ducks being in travel mode today, kind of probably set the tone so they already engaged from the trip up, maybe. Versus the kind of lay around all day at home style the Sharks probably had. nevertheless, I like how the Sharks trended up in the game. What a shot by Brent Burns. Amazing shot. So I thought it was a fun game to watch. A
lot of speculation around that. Did it go off the net? Did it not go off the net? I don't know. A lot of people talking about that this game was, or at least that goal was controversial. Let me just nip this in the bud. I'm seeing it in the chat right now. Is that Owen Nolan bobblehead game still scheduled at 8 p.m. The 8 p.m. start is wow. 8 p.m. is ridiculous. Let me just put this to bed for like the bazillionth time. The reason why the Tampa Bay game is at 8 o'clock versus the normal 7:30 start time is because the NCAA championship media day, because the NCAA football game, the championship game, is being held at Levi's. That's media day for that. And they're holding it at SAP Center earlier that Saturday. So that's why they had to push everything back 30 minutes. No, Owen Nolan is not getting his jersey number retired. None of these other speculations. It's merely because it's NCAA football media day. That's the only reason. Share, you know, tell a friend.
I thought it was because the Lightning needed to boost ratings in the 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. time block.
Right.
But
you would think. So joining us, of course, you see him down there. You know him. You love him. Well, some of you love him only because it was his birthday yesterday.
Thank you.
But Sharky loved him today. A little, perhaps a little too much. I've seen the photos, people.
Oh, jeez. No. So,
It was fun.
It was fun. I appreciate Sharky coming out and trying to bite my head off as usual, but definitely got the goodie bag, which I think you got earlier in the season. So that's going to be blown all over the house in the next couple of days. But huge turnout tonight. It was a great crowd to see. No bobblehead given away or anything. So it was really good to see everybody out and still in the festive mood, no matter what.
Yeah, I actually saw that from a couple people tonight on Twitter talking about that. like, wow, the tank is really full tonight. But how many people, Eric, were there wearing orange?
There were a few. I mean, it wasn't like the Toronto contingency that we saw, a couple months ago when the Leafs were in town. But there was a sprinkling. We'll just put
it wasn't down. Barracuda orange.
Sadly, no.
Damn it.
But there were some that were rocking those sweet third jerseys they're wearing this year.
Oh, and nice.
That nice to see in person. So,
As you can tell, Eric is coming to you from a disclosed location. Two reasons why you can tell. One, the background is not his normal background. Two, right. So far his internet has not crapped out.
I was going to bring that up. Like, when the hell did your internet get better than mine? Not that mine's good. I'm just saying yours was, you were the only one who had worse connections than me. And
incredibly stable so far.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Felix in the chat, your next interview should be to ask John Totora whose jersey the Sharks retire first and when. I am still for the longest time, my opinion was the Sharks will not retire a number until they win a cup, but it would not surprise me if Marlowe is the first one. Would not surprise me. Marlowe or Thornton. Yeah. For the longest time, I thought it would be Nolan, but I'm going with either Marlowe or Thornton. I think that's who it was. Did anyone get Eric a new internet connection for his birthday?
Crying out loud. No new internet connection, but I do have a new mic setup that I can't wait to show off in the very near future.
We know he's at a motel, but the one thing that we definitely know is that it's not in Winnipeg.
Oh,
I'm just saying. Just saying. Whoever retires first. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I don't know that that's necessary. You can make a case for Nabby. Sure. But you know, Nabby was here for like a decade, 11 years, you know, Marlowe was here for damn near 20. So Jumbo may play into his 50s.
that's true. Ugh. It might not happen until 2030 something.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, coming up, we have Edmonton and Calgary, obviously Calgary leading the Pacific. Shockingly enough, Edmonton not doing that well, shockingly enough. And in fact, checking the standings right now, Edmonton, a whopping 2 points out of a playoff spot, out of the wild card. So don't think that these, again, this was my thing like a week ago where I was saying the Sharks cannot leave points on the table when you've got a 5-game stretch, all Pacific Division foes. You've already left points on the table versus the bottom feeders of your division. So it was nice to get two tonight from Anaheim. And Vegas pushed everybody down a spot, if you're not paying attention, if you're under Calgary. You know, coming into this, San Jose was in second position in the Pacific. Now they're in third. Anaheim was in third. Now they're in fourth because Vegas won tonight. And with that, oh my Lord, that must mean...
Common courtesy to give him a reach around.
It's time to talk about time to talk about games that happened around that we're going to reach around the league and find out what else happened tonight. Hey, now Darcy Kuemper getting yet another start. What has happened with Aiden Hill? What is going on with the goalie situation in Arizona? But the Kings victorious again. Is that not their like third in a row? Winnipeg, the Sharks, now the Coyotes. What's going on with LA? Have they figured things out?
The Golden Knights, I thought.
We'll get to them. But the Kings over the Coyotes, 2-1. The Kings all of a sudden pouring it on, just a scooch. In fact, let me check their run. Three. They've won three in a row, currently 4-4-2 over the last 10. So, and I still don't think they're going to climb out of the basement. But anyway, moving over to the east side, the Devils 5-2. The Devils 5-2 over the Bruins. What? Halak taking the loss on that. Blackwood, a goalie that no one's ever heard of for the Devils, taking the win in that one.
That man.
In overtime, in the biggest, most well-known arena on the planet, Madison Square, the Blue Jackets victorious over the Rangers 4-3 in overtime. Lundqvist taking yet another loss. That poor guy. He really should have got out of there when he had the chance. For the Penguins, they are victorious 5-2 over the Red Wings. Murray gets the win. Howard gets the loss. Nothing really. Okay, Brassard and Kessel both got a pair of goals. Kessel.
Maybe that will, although I haven't heard much of this lately, but maybe that will squash the Matt Murray for Jimmy Howard rumors that were going on about a month ago.
Maybe just a little.
Yeah.
But Kessel getting both of his goals tonight on the power play. Can we get Kessel to like coach our power play in like a year or so when Kessel retires? In the nation's capital, the Capitals were victorious over the Canes 3-1. Holtby for the win, Mazarek with the loss. That hoe got the only goal for the Canes. And I only say that because I like pronouncing that name. The Lightning continue to do Lightning things. 6-5 in overtime over the Flyers. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Flyers scored 5 times versus the Lightning. Vasilevsky, you're good. You ain't that good. Neuver takes the loss in this one. Anything of note? Stamkos had 2 goals.
Kucherov had 4 points tonight, a goal and 3 assists.
Holy hell. Well, see.
I was going to say. I think that game you said 6 goals against for the Flyers. I think that still lowered Neuvirth's goals against average for the season, but I need to check that.
Hey now.
And I'm actually not kidding. I think it literally.
St. Louis, the Blues victorious 4-1 over the Buffalo Sabres. Really? Jack Eichel potting the only one for Buffalo on the power play. For the Blues, Jake Allen would take the win, and one of my favorite names in hockey would score the second goal, the game winner for St. Louis, Bomeister. I just like
off
saying
the Schneid.
Bomeister. Dallas gets over on the Predators, shuts them out 2-0. Khudobin threw the net at Pekka in this game. Threw it. So that's kind of shocking. You know, the Stars trying to do something in the Central. We like that. The Flames continuing to do Calgary things versus, hello, the best team in the Central, the Jets, 4-1 in Winnipeg. Rittich beating the hell out of Hellebuck on this one. Johnny Hockey with a hat trick in this one. Booyah. Man, I'm going to have to I have to look at the highlights for that one. That looks like that was a pretty good game. Chicago, wait a minute. Chicago won a game? This can't be right.
This has to be the Chicago Wolves, right?
Yeah. She got the Blackhawks over the Wild. Oh, it was the Wild. Never mind. 5-2. Dubnyk takes yet another loss. Matt Dumba cannot come back fast enough for this team.
Patrick Kane with a hat trick and Brandon Saad with 2 goals.
Kneel before Saad, you will. The Vancouver Canucks, of all people, have won a game.
They certainly did.
And if you missed it tonight, and I tweeted it out, let me pull up the tweet because it was a quote from Randy Hahn tonight. And I, you know, look, I'm not trying to say that like Randy Hahn is like trying to stir the pot by any stretch of the imagination, but it was still a fantastic comment tonight. God, where is it? It was, I'm so pissed off that I had it. I had it right on my phone earlier, and all of a sudden it seems to have disappeared on me. But he basically said something along the lines of, you know, Vancouver is now into a playoff spot. Who saw that coming?
Yeah.
I mean, to say that during a live broadcast, I was like, wow, that's awesome. Markstrom gets the win for Vancouver. Koskinen takes the loss. It makes you wonder who the Sharks are going to see on Saturday. Will it be
I was about to say the same thing. Koskinen has been getting a lot more starts than I thought.
Goes to
free agent at the end of the year, right, Kev?
I believe he is, actually. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's going to be interesting. Of course, Besser score. Of course, Pettersson. Jesus Christ, freaking Calder Trophy motherfucker. Anyway, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Draisaitl score for the Oil. Both of those coming on the power play. So At best, you know, the Canucks, their penalty kill sucks, I guess, but but still 4-2 Canucks over the Oilers. I can't, but yeah, but you know what though? I'm looking at the records. Their records are not that far off. I mean,
no, Vancouver passed Edmonton in the standings tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So it's just amazing. And then finally, Fleury is victorious with the Golden Knights 2-1 over the Lanch. Hey, Golden Knights starting to put it together. So let's jump into the standings. Unamas.
Real quick, while I remember the Neuvirth thing. Yeah, Neuvirth's goals against average did go up, but he's at, through four games, 4.80 goals against, 8.35 save percentage.
Oh, yikes!
Those are some Niemi-esque type.
That's Niemi's Pittsburgh career right there, folks.
Hey, now. No, the thing that is shocking the hell out of me right now is Calgary's goal differential. I mean, dude, they're the best in the West right now. I mean, Winnipeg plus 24, Calgary plus 27. To put that in context, Vegas plus 6, Sharks plus 9. Calgary is plus 27. And Anaheim, who was in a wild card spot, they were in the top three before this evening, minus 14. Thank you, John Gibson. Oh, my God. But anyway, Calgary 3 points ahead of Vegas now because Calgary won, Vegas won. So 49 points with Calgary, 46 with Vegas, 45 for San Jose, and falling in the wild card, Anaheim at 43. Oh, you were incorrect. Dallas is at 41 in the wild card. So Vancouver is still on the outside looking in.
Yeah, entering today, Edmonton was in that spot. So with their loss, they dropped back.
Yes, and Edmonton just a point behind at 39. So don't tell me that that game today did not mean a little something, something. So I think with that, San Jose is 47. No, did I say 47?
Yeah,
45. 45.
But they should be 47.
Yeah, oh, wait a minute. Hold up. Well, then, you know, okay, then shoot me. Okay, okay. I'm sorry. My bad. I relied on NHL.com for relevant information. That's on me.
I know they they own the Sharks, but that's just
okay. Good. That's on me. That's on me. Let's. Okay. We rewound. Calgary at 49 points. San Jose in second at 47. Vegas in third at 46. Anaheim at 43. Dallas at 41. Vancouver and Edmonton outside looking in 40 and 39. So, okay. Thank you all for correcting me. Facts first. I appreciate that. Oh, Jesus Christ. Who let Chris S. in here?
I just noticed that, too.
So that's the way we roll. Again, looking forward to Edmonton and Calgary. Edmonton, we will be back with you following that game, which is on Saturday. This is another matinee, and if you'll look at your clocks and your schedules and everything, you'll notice that, oh my God, San Jose is a whopping 0-3 in matinee games. But good note so far, we're 5-3 wearing these bad boys. So at least we have a winning record. It's not that 0-4 heritage stink that we had. No, best looking jerseys in the league with the biggest curse. But yes, winning record in the stealth jerseys right now, but losing record in matinee games. Again, Saturday, 1:00 versus Edmonton. I'm going, okay, Marty McFly, reading my mind. I am working on seeing if we can't get a good 10-15 minutes with Drew tomorrow. Got to check his schedule. There's a lot of work that goes into keeping that head that clean. So I just got to like dial in like that 15 minutes that he's available. You know, there's moisturizers and creams and stuff. No, it takes a lot of work to make Drew look that good. So we will see you after Edmonton and Sharks. That will be, I guess, what, Teal Town afternoon?
Afternoon delight.
Well, hey now.
Oh, good for you.
There you go. So with that, let me see. And that's the 29th. And then Barracuda on the 30th. So there you go. Hold on. No, they had a loss in the stealth. I didn't say that they didn't lose. I said they have a winning record in the stealth jersey so far. Okay. Look, I admit it when I screw up. Are you going to admit you screwed up on that one, sleepy mofo? I'm just saying. All right. Okay. So let me see. For the 34 of you watching, again, thank you very much for doing so. Hit the subscribe button if you please. Hit the notification bell if you will. We're on Instagram, Tealtown USA. Also on Twitter, also on Facebook, also on SoundCloud. And a weekly Pucknologist will probably be dropping around New Year's Day. Other than that, you will find us after every single Sharks game here on YouTube. Only live and interactive post-game show that there is. Booyah. So, Kevin Lacey, where can the people find you on the social media channels?
You can find me at KevinLacey22 on most social media outlets. And one of these days, we'll have another teal-tinted glasses. But until then, you know, subscribe to this channel, to that channel, and give us all a follow. And give me a better internet connection than Puck Guy next time. Because, oh, man, I'm just feeling really down right now. Really happy for you, but really down. Dang.
Sleepy Mofo is a man. He said, I was wrong. Clearly, Sleepy Mofo not married. Or I should say probably is married, because most unmarried men can't utter that phrase. Lord knows I tell my wife that about 3 times a day. Eric.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at PuckGuy14. And just a quick shout out to everyone who reached out and gave me some good birthday wishes. It was an awesome birthday and really appreciate it all. Best way you can give me some love for my birthday, make sure you subscribe if you haven't done it. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. And thank you for the donations in the chat, too.
Yeah, that was awesome. You guys are badass.
Appreciate it.
I'm AJ_Strong on the Twitter and on the gram. Also throwing up some Tealtown USA Grammy type stuff for your Grammy. Hashtag for your Grammy. I like that. So with that, thanks for looking out. And we will see you after Edmonton. Puck Guy.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you Saturday. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Thank you very much for watching.
Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Tealtown After Dark.